hello and welcome to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW. This show is going to take you on an unforgettable adventure through the silver screen. I'm your guide, Austin Reed. Join me as we delve deep into the realms of Hollywood's finest creations and hidden gems along the way. Movies have the power to transport us to incredible worlds, evoke a wide range of emotions, and ignite our imaginations like nothing else. They capture our hearts, challenge our minds, and provide us with a much-needed escape from the ordinary. Flick Fix is here to celebrate the magic of cinema, to honor the art of storytelling, and to light up a passionate flame within each and every one of you. So grab your popcorn, dim the lights, and get ready to immerse yourself in a world of lights, camera, and action. Hello, and welcome back to Flick Fix, the show where cinema is discussed, overthought, lightly grilled, and occasionally treated like it owes me an explanation. I'm your host, Austin, and it is good to have you back with me once again. We've got a pretty fun lineup today. First up, I'll be talking about The Sheep Detectives, a mystery comedy where a flock of sheep tries to solve the murder of their shepherd. Did this one crack the case, or did it wander too far from the pasture? We'll find out. Then I'll be reviewing Obsession, a supernatural horror film about a toy that grants wishes, which is always a great sign that everything will be totally fine and nobody will emotionally spiral into a nightmare. And for today's Spotlight review, we're going full throttle with Speed, the 1994 action classic starring Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock, Dennis Hopper, and one very, very stressed out bus. It's a movie built on one of the simplest high concept ideas ever. A bus has to stay above 50 miles per hour or it will explode. That's it. That's the pitch. And somehow it became one of the most iconic action movies of its decade. So, buckle up, check your mirrors, keep your hands and hooves inside the vehicle at all times, and let's get started. The Sheep Detectives is a mystery comedy film directed by Kyle Balda and written by Craig Mazin, based on the 2005 novel Three Bags Full by Leonie Swan. The film features an ensemble cast including Hugh Jackman, Nicholas Braun, and the voices of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Bryan Cranston, Chris O'Dowd, Regina Hall, and Patrick Stewart. The story follows a flock of sheep who set out to solve the murder of their shepherd. You know when two completely different ideas get smushed together and the result can go either one of two ways? Either it becomes an ugly clash where nothing fits, or somehow the pieces come together beautifully, like two peas in a pod. There have definitely been times where that kind of genre mashup has not worked. Movies like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, or Pride and Prejudice and Zombies come to mind, where the concept sounds fun on paper, but the execution just does not live up to the weirdness of the idea. But here, we have cute talking sheep mixed with a murder mystery, and somehow it works shockingly well. Seriously, a movie like this has no business being this good. The basic setup is already pretty delightful. A flock of sheep who have been read mystery novels by their shepherd, played by Hugh Jackman, suddenly find themselves in the middle of a real murder case. So naturally, these sheep decide to put their detective knowledge to the test and figure out who did it. And the great thing is, the movie actually gives us a solid mystery. We get suspects, clues, misdirections, and enough little details to keep us guessing along with the flock. The writing is very sharp, and it kept me involved the whole way through, even when the film pivots away from the central mystery to focus on the other themes or character moments, it is able to return to the case without losing too much momentum. The formula here is not exactly reinventing the wheel, but honestly, does it need to? It's a great formula, and the movie understands how to make it fun. The humor also strikes a nice balance between adults and kids. This film is rated PG, and that rating often comes with the stereotype that the movie is basically just for children. But this is one of those PG movies that actually feels like a step up from the G rating. There is plenty of kid-friendly humor, but there are also jokes and character moments that adults can enjoy without feeling like they are just sitting through something only made for the younger crowd. Stepping back and looking at the film as a whole, it does not have that super kiddie feeling that some family movies can fall into. It honestly reminded me of something I would have watched with my family in the 90s. It has that kind of warm, slightly odd, all-ages charm where the kids can enjoy the talking animals, while the adults can appreciate the writing, the mystery structure, and the emotional undercurrent. And beyond the laughs and the mystery, the biggest hitter of the film is its overall theme and message. This movie touches on a surprisingly heavy subject: death, grief, and the way we choose to remember the people we have lost. That emotional core gives the film a real heart, and I was fighting back tears in quite a few spots. So, if you are planning to bring kids along, just be ready for the possibility of a conversation about death afterwards. The movie handles it gently, but it does not completely avoid the sadness of it either. Now, with all that being said, the mystery, the comedy, and the emotional message do give the movie a lot to juggle. Most of the time, it manages to keep everything moving at a steady pace. But there are moments where the speed feels a little rushed, especially when the movie is trying to balance the fun detective story with the heavier emotional material. It never completely falls apart, but there are definitely times where I wish the film would slow down just a bit and let certain scenes breathe. But overall, The Sheep Detectives is a funny, clever, surprisingly heartfelt mystery that takes a strange idea and makes it work far better than expected. It is charming without being too cutesy, emotional without being too heavy, and silly without becoming totally mindless. This movie pulled the wool over my eyes in the best possible way. It may not be completely brilliant from start to finish, but it is still one of the most pleasant surprises I've seen this year. I'm giving The Sheep Detectives an 8 out of 10. Obsession is a supernatural horror film written, directed, and edited by Curry Barker. The film follows Bear, played by Michael Johnston, a music store employee who buys a supernatural toy that grants him his wish for his childhood friend Nikki, played by Indy Navarette, to fall in love with him. Of course, because this is a horror movie and not a Hallmark special, that wish comes with some horrifying consequences. You know, directors can come from some pretty unexpected places. For the past year or so, I have been following this sketch comedy duo that goes by the name That's a Bad Idea. I had kind of forgotten about them for a bit, and then last month, I just happened to check back on their work, and lo and behold, one of those guys was directing a horror film that I was already planning to watch the following week. At first I thought, well, that's unexpected, but actually, now that I think about it, maybe it really isn't. Sketch comedians making the jump to horror has become a surprisingly strong trend lately. For starters, you have Zach Cregger from The Whitest Kids You Know, who went on to direct Barbarian and Weapons, both of which helped establish him as a major horror voice. Then you have Danny and Michael Philippou, the comedy duo behind Raka Raka on YouTube, who gave us Talk to Me and Bring Her Back, also both really strong horror films. So, apparently, if you want to make people laugh for years, the next logical step is to emotionally ruin them in a dark theater. That bar has been set pretty high, and thankfully, Curry Barker is able to stand alongside that specific group pretty well. So, to recap the setup, our main character, Bear, wishes that his childhood friend, Nikki, would, quote, love him more than anything in the world, end quote. And almost immediately, that wish starts doing exactly what he asked for, but in the worst possible way. Nikki quickly becomes obsessed, attached, fixated, and completely consumed by him. And if that sounds like a deeply unpleasant situation to watch unfold, you are absolutely correct. The inciting incident happens pretty quickly, and once the obsession begins to kick in, the movie gives you plenty of time to sit in that discomfort and realize, oh no, this is only going to get worse. And that is one thing I really appreciated about this film. It knows how to be a horror movie. There is a great mix of different elements here that all work together to make the experience genuinely unsettling. The atmosphere is heavy and suffocating with this dark, spacious, almost droning music hanging in the background, like a warning sign that something terrible is waiting around the corner. The camera work is also excellent, using shadows, harsh lighting, blurs, and framing in ways that keep you on edge. There are also some solid jump scares, including one that I knew was coming and still got scared by it anyway. But I really need to talk about Indy Navarette's performance as Nikki because she is outstanding. Her acting is top-notch in the horror department. She makes your skin crawl in a way that feels very intentional and controlled. It's not just big, scary acting either. It is her facial expressions, her vocal inflection, the way she moves, the way she stares, the way she shifts from being sweet to terrifying without making it feel cartoonish. She nails it. I also want to touch on the underlying themes of the film, though this is where things get into spoiler territory, so I'm not going to get into any details, don't worry. But there is a lot going on here involving consent, love versus ownership, and the horror of losing control over your own identity. The premise may sound like a simple, be careful what you wish for story, but the movie is actually working with some pretty disturbing ideas lying underneath the surface. And I will say this, if you have not watched this movie yet, or you are planning to revisit it, pay close attention to Bear's character. There is some subtle stuff happening there. Yes, the creepiness of Nikki's obsession is the obvious horror element, and it's extremely uncomfortable to watch, but there's other things going on, so pay attention. It might give the story a little more bite there. Overall, Obsession is a nasty, creepy, well-made little horror film that takes the classic idea of be careful what you wish for and runs it straight into a brick wall covered in red flags. It is tense, uncomfortable, well-acted, and much smarter than it could have been. For Obsession, I'm giving it 8 out of 10. Coming up after the break, we're leaving behind Sheep, Wishes, and Supernatural Poor Decisions, and hopping aboard one of the most anxiety-riddled buses in movie history. That's right, my spotlight review of Speed is coming up next. So don't go anywhere, because if this show drops below 50 miles per hour, I'm legally required to keep talking. You've been listening to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW.
Support for KXRW comes from On Point Community Credit Union, with 8 branches in Southwest Washington offering checking, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and more. On Point. People are the point. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Learn more at onpointcu.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Welcome back. You are listening to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW. Before we get into the full story behind Speed, I just want to say this. Sometimes the greatest action movie premise is also the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your whole life. A city bus has to stay above 50 miles per hour or it explodes. Sounds like something a kid would come up with while smashing Hot Wheels together on the living room carpet. And yet somehow, Hollywood looked at that idea and then said, yes, give this millions of dollars immediately. And honestly, that is the magic of a movie like Speed. It takes one simple, ridiculous concept and builds an entire pressure cooker around it. Now, because this is more of a lean, mean action machine than a deep philosophical text, this Spotlight review is going to spend a little more time on the wild road that got this movie made. I'll still share my thoughts afterwards, but first, let's talk about how Speed went from a misunderstood idea to one of the most memorable action films of the 1990s. And since I'll be discussing the setup, some major action beats, and pieces of the ending, I'll go ahead and call this a moderate spoiler warning. Not severe, because this isn't exactly a mystery box movie, but enough that if you somehow don't know what happens when Keanu Reeves boards public transportation, you may want to hit the brakes here. The story behind Speed starts with screenwriter Graham Yost and, oddly enough, a misunderstanding. Yost's father, L.Y. Yost, was a Canadian television host, and one day he was talking about the 1985 film Runaway Train. L.Y. had misremembered the plot and thought that the runaway train was out of control because of a bomb. That was not actually the plot of Runaway Train, but Graham Yost heard that and thought, okay, wait a second, that's actually a pretty good idea. At first, Yost imagined the story taking place on a bus that would explode if it dropped below 20 miles per hour, but a friend suggested raising the number to 50 miles per hour, because apparently 20 miles per hour sounded less like an action thriller and more like someone slowly panicking through a school zone. Originally, the script was called Minimum Speed, but Yost eventually changed the title to Speed, because minimum is not exactly a word that screams excitement. Nobody wants to buy a ticket to a movie that sounds like a DMV requirement. Yost's first draft was also much more contained than the movie we eventually got. In the original version, the entire story took place on the bus. There was no elevator sequence at the beginning, and there was no subway sequence at the end. The bus was also supposed to drive around Dodger Stadium and eventually crash into the Hollywood sign. After finishing the script, Yost brought it to Paramount Pictures. Paramount showed some interest and suggested John McTiernan as a possible director. McTiernan made sense on paper, since he had directed Die Hard, but he passed on the project because he felt the script was too similar to Die Hard. Instead, he recommended Jan de Bont, who had worked as the cinematographer on action films like Die Hard and The Hunt for Red October. De Bont agreed to direct, and this became his feature directing debut. Michael Bay had also expressed interest in directing the film at one point. So somewhere in another universe, there may have been a version of Speed where the bus explodes 12 more times and every sunset looks like it was personally approved by a cologne commercial. Paramount eventually passed on the project because they were unsure on whether audiences would want to watch a movie set entirely on a bus. So Yost and DeBont took the project to 20th Century Fox. Fox agreed to greenlight the movie, but they wanted more action outside of the bus storyline. DeBont then suggested opening the film with a bomb on an elevator, partly inspired by his own experience of being trapped in an elevator while working on Die Hard. That opening sequence gave the film an action set piece before the bus plot begins, and it also introduced Jack Traven as a clever LAPD SWAT officer. DeBond also suggested ending the movie with a subway sequence, giving the story one final action sequence after the bus portion. So the structure of Speed became a three-part escalation: elevator, bus, subway. Or put another way, the movie slowly works through several forms of public transportation and makes each one worse. Jan DeBont ultimately cast Keanu Reeves after seeing him in Point Break. DeBont felt Reeves had a mix of vulnerability and strength that worked for Jack. Reeves trained physically for the role and cut his hair short, which initially worried the studio, because apparently even in a movie about a bus that cannot slow down, the haircut was somehow the scary part. The role of Annie also changed quite a bit during development. Originally, Annie was written as an African-American paramedic, which would explain why she was able to handle driving the bus during an emergency. Halle Berry was offered the role, but turned it down, and she later expressed regret over that decision. As the character evolved, she became more of a comic relief sidekick, and Ellen DeGeneres was considered at one point. Eventually, Annie was rewritten as a love interest for Jack, and Sandra Bullock was cast. Filming began on September 7, 1993, and wrapped on December 23, 1993, with a production taking place in Los Angeles. During filming, Keanu Reeves was also dealing with a major personal loss. River Phoenix, who was a close friend of Reeves, died during production. DeBond adjusted the shooting schedule to give Reeves less demanding scenes during that time. DeBond later said the loss affected Reeves deeply and made him quieter and more withdrawn. Reeves was also initially hesitant about the action elements of the film. He told DeBond, "I'm not an action hero. I don't like it. I don't know how to do it." But DeBond saw that as useful for the character, since Jack is also being thrown into an extreme situation. As filming went on, Reeves became more involved in the stunt work. He even secretly rehearsed the jump from the Jaguar to the bus, which he later performed himself, even though DeBont did not approve of him doing it. The production used 11 GM New Look buses and 3 Grumman 870 buses. 2 of the buses were destroyed in explosions, while others were modified for specific scenes, including high-speed driving, interior shots, and under-the-bus work. The fictional bus route, 33 Downtown, was modeled after a real Big Blue bus route serving Santa Monica. A large portion of the freeway scenes were filmed on California's Interstate 105 and Interstate 110, especially around the Judge Harry Pragerson interchange, which was still under construction at the time. During a location scout, DeBont noticed unfinished sections of the freeway and suggested adding the bus jump to the script. The jump was filmed using a ramp to launch the bus, while computer-generated imagery was later used to create the appearance of the gap on the freeway. The bus jump did not go perfectly on the first attempt. According to DeBont's DVD commentary, the stunt driver missed the ramp and the bus was damaged beyond repair. A second bus was prepared, and the jump was successfully filmed 2 days later. That attempt went farther than expected and destroyed one of the cameras set up to film the landing. Luckily, another camera positioned about 90 feet from the jump ramp captured the shot. So the scene was saved, though one camera had to make the ultimate sacrifice for cinema. Now, the bus jump has also been tested in the real world, at least in television form. A 2009 episode of MythBusters examined whether the jump would actually be possible, and the conclusion was that it would not work under real-world conditions. So just in case anyone was thinking of trying this during a commute, please do not. So while Speed has a pretty simple premise on the surface, bus goes fast or bus goes boom, the actual production history is full of script changes, rejected casting choices, practical stunts, damaged buses, near misses, transportation chaos, and at least one very brave camera that did not make it home. Alright, now that all the history is out of the way, here is my actual opinion of Speed. And this section will not nearly be as long because, honestly, there's not a ton here that needs to be emotionally unpacked or academically dissected. This is not exactly a movie where I'm going to pause and say, now what does the bus represent? Sometimes a bus is just a bus. And sometimes that bus has a bomb on it and Dennis Hopper is making everyone's day significantly worse. But with that being said, I thought Speed was really entertaining. It knows exactly what kind of movie it is and does not overcomplicate itself. This is an action thriller that understands suspense very well. Once the main setup kicks in, the movie keeps finding new ways to tighten the situation, raise the stakes, and keep everything moving. Is it cheesy? Absolutely. Especially with Keanu Reeves in full early 90s action mode. There are moments where the dialogue has that wonderful action movie flavor where nobody talks like a real human being, but everybody somehow sounds like they belong on a VHS cover. But honestly, that is part of the fun. Sometimes it's good to switch off your brain a little and just indulge in a movie that wants to entertain you as directly as possible. Not every film has to leave you staring out a rainy window questioning the meaning of existence. Sometimes you just need a bus, a bomb, and Keanu Reeves saying things very seriously. I really do want to take a moment to admire how much went into making this movie feel physical. One of the things that stand out is just how real so much of it feels and looks. You see signs getting hit, vehicles getting wrecked, explosions going off, buses and planes getting destroyed, and it has that weight that comes from practical filmmaking. Yeah, there are camera tricks, editing choices, and controlled stunt setups, and movie magic involved, but you can still feel the effort on the screen. The action does not feel like it was built entirely in a computer after the fact. It feels like a group of people actually went out there and said, okay, how do we safely make this look incredibly unsafe? Overall, Speed is a reminder that a movie does not always need to be complicated to work. Sometimes the best setup is the one you can explain in one sentence and immediately understand the danger. It's loud, tense, a little ridiculous, and it fully commits to being that kind of movie. It may not be deep, but it is built with a level of energy and craft that keeps it from feeling disposable. So, in the end, Speed still knows how to do exactly what the title promises. It moves fast, it doesn't waste much time, and thankfully, unlike the bus, it knows when to stop. And that wraps up this episode of Flick Fix. Today, we investigated a murder with the Sheep Detectives, learned once again through Obsession that wishes should really come with a terms and conditions page, and then boarded the cinematic stress machine that is Speed. And as always, if you enjoy the show and want to support listener-powered community radio, you can help keep KXRW going by visiting kxrw.fm and clicking the donate button. Every bit helps support the station, the shows, and the wonderful little radio ecosystem that allows me to spend some airtime seriously discussing Sheep Detectives and exploding buses. Thank you so much for listening. I've been your host, Austin. You've been listening to Flick Fix on 99.9 KXRW. And remember, be careful what you wish for. Never underestimate livestock. And if your bus driver says, good news, we're making excellent time, maybe just don't ask any follow-up questions.